Blog Talk Radio.
At Firefly Willows, LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us. Host a show or be a guest or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable change makers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light. Firefly Willows, LIVE presents Healing Conversations, featuring your host, Mildred Lynn McDonald.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mildred Lynn McDonald, and I'm your host for this week's roundtable from Sebastopol, California. The topic is laughter, and the focus is going to be how can we lighten up, especially laughing at ourselves. And to join me for this tantalizing topic are Deb and John Carosella, who are just outside of Santa Cruz, I believe.
Aptos, for the moment, yeah.
Yeah. And from Menlo Park, hi, C. Luttimers.
Hello.
So John and Deb and hi, C., have you thought about what the healing benefits of laughter might be? Who'd like to grab that one and run with it?
I think Debbie should grab that one and run with it.
Okay, Deb.
Well, I know that officially there have been, over the years, there have been actual studies about laughter and the physical and emotional and social benefits of laughter. And it is a real thing. Reader's Digest, laughter is the best medicine. They've had these little tiny article spots for years. So laughter is a truly real and beneficial part of the human experience, who we are as individuals, who we are as societies, as groups, as families, ourselves.
When you laugh, I love watching you laugh.
Great.
Because it impacts the energy in the room in a very profound way. What are you feeling when you laugh?
During laughter, there's any and all kinds of reasons and prompts that bring laughter on. After laughter, probably all of the chemical brain things that happen, but really, it's just a sense of peacefulness, happiness, contentedness. There's a blissfulness that comes along with a good laugh, something that you've shared with someone else, or something that even if you're all by yourself and you've encountered something that just tickles you in the way that just there's no other response but to simply laugh out loud, you feel good afterwards.
Here are some mental health benefits that are from an article called Surprise, Surprise, Laughter is the Best Medicine. It adds joy and zest to life, eases anxiety and fear, relieves stress, improves your mood, enhances resilience. So I thought that was kind of interesting. What about you, Heisi? What do you feel the healing benefits of laughter might be?
Well, when I was thinking about this topic, it made me think of things like The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, because there I think that the healing aspect is, you know, we can feel so overwhelmed, fearful, anxious, stressed about what's going on in our world, and especially when we feel like we have no control. And something like The Daily Show takes those things and points out the absurdity of them in order for us to be able to find a way to laugh through them in order to, and I think the healing aspect, it's kind of causing to dissipate some of that fear and anxiety so that we can start to come back to a place of saying, okay, let me deal with this from a place of what I can do, or from a more rational place, rather than allowing the fear, anxiety to get spiraling out of control. So I think the healing aspect of the laughter is it kind of cuts off the momentum that fear, anxiety, anger, etc. might have, And that to me is a healing thing, because once we stop that momentum, then we can start the process of coming to a healthier place or relationship with whatever it was that was causing it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And to High C's point, there's been research done, and there's physical benefits to laughter, and some of them are boosts immunity, lowers stress hormones, decreases pain, relaxes your muscles, and some data even in the area of preventing heart disease. So, John, how does laughter show up in your life? And I guess what I'm really asking is, do you notice that you laugh a lot during the day, a little?
I certainly laugh more when I'm with other people. If I'm interviewing somebody or having a conversation with somebody for the radio, I tend to find opportunities to laugh, either at myself or at the circumstances that are being presented in the, you know, what we're sharing. Because life is full of all these weird, humbling contradictions and paradoxes. And I think that's a safe place, you know, to laugh at the humbling circumstances. So I guess I would say that that's where laughter shows up in my life. The other place that laughter shows up in my life is when Debbie is reading Damn You Autocorrect, which is her favorite therapy tool.
I truly do appreciate all the little facets that being a part of Facebook provides. Again, the humor and the ability to connect with others, even, you know, virtually, because a posting on Facebook is not a one-on-one sitting in the same room with someone, but the fact that a friend of mine found some interesting little humorous thing, put it out there, I feel that I have a connection. I have made something, you know, besides the fact that I've enjoyed and I'm laughing out loud in an empty room, I also feel that I have a connection with the individual that started the ball rolling. And there are moments when just simply being outside with the dogs, they'll do something that's funny or cute or whatever, and that makes me laugh. I am kind of a slapstick humor kind of person, and I don't know if it's because, as High C pointed out earlier, and you, Mildred, also mentioned, laughter is a way of releasing stress. And when something happens, someone trips on a banana peel.
You laugh when people fall down.
I do. I laugh when people fall down. And I know that it's not always an appropriate response. And I certainly don't laugh because I don't care that they might not have injured themselves or whatever, but I cannot help it. I literally have no control over the fact that I laugh, sometimes uncontrollably, when an individual has done something, tripped, fallen, almost sat on a chair and not quite. There's something about it that I just cannot not see it, and it makes me laugh.
I think it's pretty good that you know that that's your preferred humor.
Yeah.
And going back to Deb's point, if we look at the social benefits of laughter, the research has shown that it has benefits in terms of strengthening relationships. I guess if you laugh together, you stick together. It attracts others to us. Somehow, as humans, we're attracted to the laughter vibration. Enhances teamwork, helps diffuse conflict, and we all know about that, and promotes group bonding. So, High C, do you feel that you're able to laugh at yourself? Because we certainly laugh at you. Oh, sorry, oops.
I do, because I can laugh at myself all the time because I'm just amused at making that little mistake or tripping over that thing or, you know, whatever. Because I learned very quickly I learned this actually from my name, because growing up, I would get asked the same questions all of the time, as well as have it mispronounced the same way all of the time. And I learned that either I could become very frustrated and bitter that I was getting asked the same question as if people thought they were the most original in the world, and it's like, oh, nobody ever thought of that. Or I could just learn to laugh along with them and not make a big deal of it. And I think that that's translated over into being able to laugh at myself, because I learned not to take things so seriously and not to make such a big deal of things. And when you laugh along with them or laugh them off, they suddenly lose that power or whatever to push you towards more negative kind of feelings.
I laugh at myself a lot, and what I realized is that I like the Mildred who laughs at herself. I like her better than the Mildred that might be serious.
Why do you like her better?
I find through laughter, it really, as we were talking about, it releases stress or anything that might be on my mind, and I find the laughing at yourself, Mildred, is an expansive human being and looks at herself less seriously and looks at everything else more lightly.
Well, you know, it's interesting the way you just describe that. Makes you see that person as a more expansive human being. Because for me, sort of the physical effects of laughing, it's kind of physical, but it's kind of more than physical. I feel that, well, my breath is engaged, right? I mean, when you're really laughing hard, your diaphragm is really engaged, and it's pulling the air in and pushing the air out, and it's doing this squeezing and filling and squeezing and filling in a way that's different from breathing when you're exercising or breathing when you're doing yoga or meditation. Whatever it is that's happening, the way the body is operating, the way the diaphragm is operating, I think it's doing this big chi wash or something. It's like it opens you up and cleanses out the old stuff and allows the new, fresh stuff to come in.
Are you talking about being in an altered state? The laughter, breathing in, breathing out, it's a chi cleansing and perhaps brings you into another state? Would that be?
It makes me feel more expanded. It makes me feel more open and lighter and energetically more effective. Like, I feel like I'm less cloudy, less congested, and spirit can move through me, and what needs to be expressed can get expressed through me in a much healthier, simpler way, more efficient way, I guess.
Nicely put.
Like that.
Yeah, it sounds good. Now, when I was looking at laughter is the best medicine, I came across some questions that we can ask ourselves and our listeners can ask themselves that can help shift the energy or perhaps bring you to a better space when life happens. So here are the questions. There's six of them, and I'd like your feedback if anything comes to you afterwards. The first one is it really worth getting upset over? The second question, is it worth upsetting others? Third, is it really that bad? Fourth, is it really that important? The fifth one is the situation irreparable or is it something that can be fixed? And the last one, is it really my problem? Any of these resonate with John or Deb or High C?
Well, I tell you, you know, is it really that bad? Is it really that important? One of the things that I realize sometimes is that getting cranked up about some situation because it's interfering with something that I want to do or something that I want to happen or the way I want something, a situation to be, oftentimes takes more energy and takes more time than just ignoring it and letting it die down. And so it's easy to waste more time and energy being upset about something than the something itself.
Hi, C, what about you? Did any of these appeal to you?
Well, what I found, because, you know, we talked about laughter as the best medicine, but it also makes me think of that phrase, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. And I would just replace a spoonful of sugar with laughter helps the medicine go down. And so I found this when you were asking these questions, because these are oftentimes things that clients in a reading may be feeling, because they think that what they're asking about is such a huge problem or a huge issue, or the thing the reading is telling them that might need to be done about it is, you know, so overwhelming or seems so big. And so I always try to include a little laughter or say something in a humorous way or make light of something, not to dismiss it, but to help the seriousness of it go down a little easier. Mm. And I think that's where these things that you just read, that's why laughter can help, because it helps the problem seem lighter and seem easier to face and to deal with. It doesn't make the problem go away, but laughter certainly helps to make it seem more manageable or more approachable, rather than something that's just steamrolling over me.
Mm. Yeah, well said. Do you have anything to add, Deb? Or
I like, is it really worth getting upset over? And is it really my problem? Is there anything that, in reality, I can do about this? You know, am I, as an individual, actually going to affect this in any way, shape, or form? And maybe there is something I can do from a realistic point of view, and it's important to ask that question. Is it really my problem? And if I decide that yes, it is, being able to break it down and look at it from a perspective that isn't fear and gloom and dire immediacy, I think is very helpful.
If our listeners are inspired by Deb and John and Hi C to explore the concept of laughing a little more, I'd like to refer you to www.helpguide.org. So that's www.helpguide.org. And the article is called Laughter's the Best Medicine. So John and Hi C and Deb, thank you very much for being part of the roundtable today about laughter. And I'd like to invite everybody to stay tuned for the rest of our show. Thank you, John, Deb, and Hi C.
Thanks, Mildred.
Thanks, Mildred. Mildred.
Well, that's our roundtable for this week. Many thanks to Mildred Lynn McDonald and participants Deb and John Carosella and Hi C. Lutmers. We hope you found this roundtable discussion engaging and thought-provoking. If you would like to join the conversation, visit facebook.com/fireflywillows and add your comment under this week's roundtable post. Stay tuned. Yes, we've added to our lineup of lively, thought-provoking shows, but don't forget our original Sunday morning lineup at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald every first Sunday. Revolution with Hi C. Lutmers every second Sunday. Convergence with John Carosella every third Sunday. And our popular on-air call-in show, the fourth Sunday of every month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
Hello, this is Mildred Lynn McDonald, and I'm your host for Healing Conversations, live from Sebastopol, California. Thank you very much for joining us, and we hope that you're enjoying the show. I'd also like to thank singer-songwriter Robert Cotter of Newfoundland, Canada, for providing his original music for the show today. It's called Hope All River Falls. Have you ever heard of sacred astrology? Are you open to how it could help support you on your life's journey? Perhaps you're curious about the stars and the planets and even natal charts. If your answer is yes, then you'll savor our chat with intuitive, astrologer, and dream worker Pollyanna Costa of Santa Rosa, California. What stands out about Pollyanna is that she loves her work and brings to the table warmth, caring, and considerable gifts as a lover of beauty, nature, dreams, and synchronicity. Every day, she feels honored to operate in the realm of sacred astrology, and she'll generously share what she's learned, tips on how to balance your life, and best of all, how to tap into your innate life purpose potential that is basically written in the stars. So let's connect with Pollyanna in Santa Rosa, California, and give her a warm welcome to the show. Pollyanna, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Mildred Lynn.
Good morning, and how is the weather in beautiful Santa Rosa?
It's lovely outside. It feels like a very happy day.
Oh, good, good. I have to compliment you on your voice. You have a beautiful radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to jump right in here today because I'm excited about our topic. You're into sacred astrology. Now, I know a little bit about astrology. Can you explain what is sacred astrology exactly and how does it work?
Boy, that's a big question. But for me, I consider it sacred. This is a really ancient tool, an ancient intuitive art. And the way that I practice astrology is that asking to always be connected to the divine, to always be doing no harm, always listening to the intuition, asking outside myself for guidance. This isn't really always just me that's working, right? There's other things going mm-hmm. on at the same time.
So the astrology part, from what I understand about astrology, is there's meaning in the stars and constellations and planets. Would that be accurate?
Yes, we have assigned meaning to the stars and the planets. The planets, for example, represent certain energies. And then if you look at the signs are filters, in other words, how that energy gets expressed.
Hmm. So many people are aware of their zodiac signs. So how does that play into sacred astrology? Is that something you work with or something in the background?
Well, I use, for example, if someone knows that they are a Leo because they know their birthday, we're talking about the sun sign. But what myself and other astrologers use is we use the whole zodiac. We're looking also at the moon and Venus and Pluto, where all of those planets were at the moment of birth and how they're interacting with each other.
Oh,
and so that
okay.
gives us the horoscope, the natal chart, which is kind of like a snapshot of the sky at the moment of birth.
As I'm sitting here and I'm pondering sacred astrology and thanking you for the explanation, it hits me, what type of people come to see you and what are they looking for? What type of guidance?
Well, I do see people from all walks of life. It can be anything from some business advice. For example, maybe someone has a busy schedule and they're trying to figure out, you know, when is the best time to bring out this offering? When is the best time to do this workshop? What are the energies at play and how are they relating with oneself in that moment? Is this an ideal time? So timing of events mm-hmm. can be one area. More often, I think I get the people that come to me are looking for something, for example, maybe they want a richer life experience. Perhaps their life is going along pretty well, but there's a sense that, wow, there's got to be something more. I kind of feel like, why am I here? What's my purpose? Or perhaps they want a little more fulfillment in their work. And sometimes they just need, people need an encouragement, or oftentimes what I'm doing is offering confirmation for their own intuitive wisdom that's already there.
So when someone comes to see you, and I wanted to share with our listeners, I had the good fortune of walking through the doorstep in Pollyanna's beautiful sacred spot where she does her work. And when I sat down, I immediately felt the sense of a sacred space. And I came home and I was thinking about one of the gifts that you provided, Pollyanna, was a place to put certain things. You provided a framework or a context that really helped. It really made sense. Mm. So wondering, when people come to you, in your experience, and perhaps in your own opinion, in your own words, how can sacred astrology shape and influence the way they see the world? What new context or perspective are you able to introduce?
Wow, great question. Sometimes it's simply reframing or giving the possibility that there's more than one way to see a situation, more than one way to see oneself. So perhaps someone might feel that might have grown up with an idea about themselves or a belief about themselves that they could never do what they really wanted, or that their needs don't matter, or that they can never be happy even. I like to offer the idea that, you know, we're all here. The universe would like us all to be happy. We all have that right. We're all entitled to that. And we're all entitled to become our bigger selves. Sometimes it's just offering the idea that sometimes these beliefs that we carry with ourselves are not even true. And I can show where there's planetary support for shaking that belief, for breaking through some kind of self-imposed limitation or outwardly defined definition of who we are.
So when a client would contact you, you ask them for a little bit of information, and then you take mm-hmm. that information. Well, first of all, what is the information that you request, and then what do you do with that? How do you plug it in?
Well, the information I request is their mm-hmm. name, of course, and then their date, time, and place of birth. This is like the personal coordinates. And I have software, so most astrologers don't do the math by hand anymore, so thankfully, because that would take me a very long time. So I have software on my computer, and I punch it in there, and it gives me the horoscope. It gives me that celestial picture, that celestial mandala that is the birth chart. I might also ask them if they have particular focus, or if it's near their birthday, I'll ask them where they were on their birthday, because I'll cast another chart that, you know, I cast other charts besides the natal chart for a reading.
So when a person shares their birth date coordinates and location, and you plug the information into the software program, you receive a sheet with the natal chart or whatever chart you're creating. And then I suspect you would move into the art of communicating and interpreting the software program information. Would that be fair?
Yes. I print it up, and I have a piece of paper that I'm looking at, but this piece of paper is kind of the connection. Basically, it's kind of a map of the soul. And yes, there's all this technical information and, you know, understanding what the sun represents and what the sign Scorpio represents and all the signs and all the planets. And there's endless possibilities for each personal combination. Every chart is different because there's always free will, of course. That's where the intuition comes in, and also the dialogue with the client.
Let's look at an example. Let's create a pretend client. The client comes in, they're sitting there, and they have questions about their career. They've been in a job for a long time, maybe too long, and they would love to do something else. Their heart is speaking with them, and they just don't feel they're entitled or they have the courage, or maybe there's roadblocks. How would you be able to help them?
Well, I would point out to them that it says right here in your chart, here's your talents. Here's some ideas. Here's planetary support for that. Here is support from the universe. And also the reminder that, you know, if my heart is speaking to me and this is coming up and I want to do this, that means it's time to do it, that there's support to do it. It's just the same as when old wounding comes up. It comes up because there's support for healing in that moment.
So basically, as you referred to earlier, it's reacquainting a person with the information on a soul level and a heart level that they already know. It sounds like you helped them lift it up to the surface in a beautiful way.
Oh, thank you for that definition. Yes, and a lot of times it is assisting a person in remembering who they are. if we come in with this information and then we live our lives and we've still got to go through the journey to remember to get back to who we are in a way.
Now, when people come to see you, what are common questions? Do you get a lot about career? Do you get a lot about love life? Do you get a lot about health? How does that shake out for you?
Yes, those are the three.
Work,
health, and love. Those are the three biggies, of course. You know, this is the stuff of our daily life. And also, too, a lot of questions about spirituality or kind of seeking. I feel like there's something more. So generally, sometimes one topic will be more in the foreground, but generally we're talking about all three of those together because it's all going to show what's in the chart. And also, too, sometimes we might bring some dreams in there, too, to also for some extra information.
Okay, and we're going to talk about dreams a little bit later because I know that you're masterful in that area, too. What came in for me is during the sessions, do you laugh a lot with your clients?
Yes, actually. Actually, we do laugh. I'll laugh at myself. Sometimes I can't find the word, or maybe I'll be hearing several voices at once, and then I'll get a little too serious and thinking that I've got to retain everything or say it in just exactly the right way, and then the laughter will loosen it up.
Okay.
And then I just say, okay, well, this is what I'm hearing, because sometimes it might seem like it makes no sense. But if I keep hearing that something needs to be said and I have to get out of my own way. And by the way, I really enjoyed the segment on laughter with your other three guests there. That was some good reminders in there.
Now, the other question I wanted to ask, do you feel this is a lifelong journey for you? Is there tons and tons to learn about sacred astrology?
It is vast and never-ending. As far as the information, the study, the learning, and then there's, of course, the deepening, and then there's, of course, the surprises, you know, even about one's own chart. Every now and then, once every so many years, I'll go, oh, it's right there with my own chart. So it is a journey of self-discovery.
My last question about the clients, and then we're going to take a little break, and when we come back from our break, we're going to go into who you need to be to do this beautiful work and what you've learned and some tips for our listeners. You seem to provide information, and the vibration I receive is that it's very reassuring. People would feel warm, they would feel cared for, they would remember, maybe some dots would be connected. And you do this within the space of an hour? Is that how that works?
Most readings, most sessions are an hour.
Okay.
Occasionally, sometimes they're an hour and a half, especially if it's a couple or a family. Or some people prefer to have the longer session. Occasionally, I do shorter sessions as well. And then, of course, when I'm in the markets, I'm doing mini sessions. So.
Yeah. And when you say in the market, you mean the farmer's market.
Farmer's market or wellness fairs, or I do a local goddess craft fair every December. And so those are a little bit different. But generally, most sessions are an hour. That's a really good time. That's a lot of information, and they're recorded. So the person can listen actively during the session, and then also listen later.
All right, then, Polly, I'm going to take a little break. Have a nice sip of
Thank
tea
you.
In Santa Rosa, and we'll be back. For our listeners, we're talking with Pollyanna Koska in Santa Rosa, California, and we're talking about sacred astrology. When we come back, we're going to dive a little deeper into what makes Pollyanna tick and what she has learned from her experiences, and she's going to offer you some tips on how to balance your life. So I'm pretty pumped about that. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and off we go.
Firefly Willows is proud to support California Animal Rescue in Santa Rosa, California. CAR is a 501c3 nonprofit rescue group dedicated to the rescue of homeless animals from county shelters and off of the streets. They combat the problem of overpopulation through diligent spaying and neutering.
CAR consists of a dedicated group of volunteers who rescue animals, provide medical attention, foster them, and place them for adoption. They strive to provide a second chance for those animals that have run out of time at local shelters. For more information or ways that you can help, visit car.rescuegroups.org or like California Animal Rescue on Facebook. This tip of the week from California Animal Rescue. When you're thinking of adopting a dog, don't look past the older dogs. They make great pets for these three reasons. Older dogs usually come trained. They are calmer and less energetic than younger dogs, and older dogs make instant companions. To learn more about available older dogs, please visit car.rescuegroups.org or like California Animal Rescue on Facebook.
And we're back with Pollyanna Costa. Are you there, Pollyanna?
Yes, I am, Mildred Lynn.
Now we're going to turn the tables a little bit and shine the spotlight on you.
Oh, boy.
So what I I'm going to laugh. That sounded too serious. So what I'd love to ask is how sacred astrology has helped shape and influence the way you see your world. We talked about how it may shape and influence how your clients see the world, but let's go back to you. What has it done for you?
I fell in love with astrology as a teen. I was always interested, even as a child, in anything, you know, mysterious or spiritual or anything mystical. And when I was a teen, I had some friends who were a little bit older, and they had an ephemeris, and they looked up my chart for me. And from that moment, I was in love. Because what it gave to me was a language to understand myself better, and also confirmation for being such a complicated individual. It was very validating.
I know when I sat there across the table from you, when you were kind enough to do my natal chart, it seemed to me I was talking to someone who went through the ages. It seemed like this was exactly what you were born to do in this lifetime, and that your wisdom went across time and space. I was very impressed with that. The other thing that I noticed when I was there is a deep sense of connection to your heart, to your intuition, and I know that that doesn't happen by itself. It's a discipline and it's a choice. When we talked before, you shared with me that there's two practices that you use every day to connect your inner and your outer world. And this is so important for people today when their external voice muffles their internal voice, their inner self. So can you share what those two practices are? And also, can you give us a couple of examples that our listeners can use?
Okay. It's actually three. I thought about it after we talked.
Oh.
So the first thing is if I have any dream material, I will hopefully have the time to sit with that, write that down, contemplate that. Also, meditation. Ideally, every day for at least a half an hour, but that's realistically, that's not always how it happens. So I generally will do that more than once a day before a client comes, et cetera, when I have a moment in between. A moment in my busy schedule, and also nature. Very, very important to connect with nature for me every single day. I walk outside my front door, and I can hear the birds and watch them playing, and maybe a cat or a possum or a quail or someone else passes through, and this really feeds me. And listening to the wind and the trees and just sitting with nature.
So if you woke up in the morning and you had your nice cup of tea or your nice cup of coffee and you looked outside and you noticed a flamingo running across your backyard.
I would say, wow, a flamingo in Sonoma County in my yard. Well, I am going to pay attention today. And especially since it would be a very unusual and highly unlikely event, I would think, wow, this is going to be a magical day. Polly, pay attention. A pink flamingo. Wow. So, of course, then I would probably play with what does pink feel like to me? What are some possibilities of the meaning of this? Spiritually, what do flamingos represent? I have no idea. So I might play with some ideas and then maybe even go look up and see, look online and see if anybody's got a little thing to say about flamingos. And I still would decide for myself or just leave it open and see what happens. And then see what else happens the rest of the day. Because if a pink flamingo shows up in the morning, I bet you that's not the only unusual occurrence. I'd be really surprised if there wasn't something else really special happen that day.
And going to meditation, what does your meditation practice look like?
Well, it's very diverse, or I should say, it's not as regular as I'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is a meditation in nature and practicing being still. Very important to pay attention to the breath, but I like to do that lightly instead of getting caught up in, am I doing it right? Sometimes I'm actually meditating on a client or a chart, but sometimes I'll get the feeling that perhaps there's something that I need to ask for some more information coming from somewhere else, especially if someone's having a particularly difficult time, or sometimes I won't even know yet that they're going through a difficult time, but something I'll just get the information that spend a little extra time with this particular person in their energy field to kind of, they need some extra special guidance, for example.
The key thing is that you're open to receive the message, and
yes,
with that message, you pay attention to it. You're very careful in terms of what you choose to make it mean. It sounds to me you're more with it than choosing to make it mean something.
Yes, yes. I mean, you know, of course, I've always wanted to know what something means, but that's not set in stone either. So I just contemplate and play with the possibilities.
Now, for our listeners, I'm thinking about the connection and feeling the connection to nature. And I wanted to share that when I walked across Pollyanna's doorway, she didn't have a door. She had the most beautiful piece, vintage lace, that I have, I don't know if I've ever seen such a beautiful piece of vintage lace. And in her room, beautiful glasses of all different colors. And they were the first two things that hit me.
I have always loved pretty things. I've always felt a whole lot better surrounded by beauty. And something else I love to do is to build altars. I've done it since a child, although as a child I didn't really realize what I was doing. And the glass, for example, I just love the way the light, it makes me happy to see the light coming through the glass, the colors on the wall, and having the curtain there at the front door is also an energetic kind of boundary, from the neighbors there, and also allows me to leave the door open and yes, be sitting there with nature while I'm giving a reading or while I'm having a cup of tea. It is an invitation, and nature is there for us. Mother Earth is there for us. And so I do think that it's important that we acknowledge that and honor that and be grateful.
Now, synchronicity, we had a good chat about synchronicity. What is it and how does it work for you on a day-to-day basis?
Synchronicity is, well, it can come in several different ways. It can come in many, many ways. Say, for example, that pink flamingo was right here in my yard. And then say I go down to Oliver's, to the grocery store, and I pass by a billboard with a pink flamingo. And then I see in the parking lot someone's got a pink flamingo on their license plate. You know, maybe that morning I happen to have a dream or hear a dream from someone else where there were pink flamingos. So paying attention to those so-called coincidences. It can also be hearing the phone ring and then knowing that it's my friend so-and-so.
Yes.
And we all have this. You know, we all, a lot of it is the paying attention to. and then also the invitation. And the more that we're paying attention, I think the more it happens, or maybe it was already happening and maybe sometimes we get too busy and caught up in our life. It can also be maybe they have a dream about a dog that's a helper. And, of course, I use animals a lot because I feel a connection to the animal spirits quite a bit. And then maybe they see that same dog. They meet someone in the park with a dog that looks very much like the dream dog. Now, if this were my experience, I would be paying attention to who that person is. Sometimes it's just kind of a confirmation. You know, it's like, oh, we're paying attention. Sometimes there isn't some greater, bigger meaning. I can sometimes myself get a little bit carried away with that. What does this mean? And that's when I have to laugh at myself and go, oh, it's just paying attention, and it just means, okay, Polly, maybe you're on the right track, for example.
Mm-hmm. What I take from what you're sharing is to be present and be open to the possibilities. And you use that word possibility, and I love that word. Just to add one thing more about synchronicity, what I find personally is that it makes me feel connected.
Yes.
So it's
great.
It's not like I'm fumbling through the day, free-falling through the day. They're little signposts.
Yeah, that's a really great point, because I think it is also that reminder that we're connected, and that we're connected, everything is connected.
Yeah.
And so I find it very comforting when these things happen, even when it seems about something seemingly mundane. And I might just, it'll make me smile. It's a reminder that we're connected. And it also is a helpful reminder to stay connected and to pay attention and go, oh, yes. Instead of worrying about this or that, or money, or the job, or, you know, maybe we had a little spat with someone, or, you know, maybe we don't know what our decision is about something. But I think it's also, it can help us pause. It's kind of like stopping and smelling the roses.
Yeah, and it's much more fun to bounce through your day looking for pink flamingos than worrying about things. It's got to release a lot of endorphins.
Yes.
People are listening to what you're sharing and a little bit of my commentary, and they may be saying to themselves, well, how does she get this inspiration, and what do intuitive impressions feel like? Can you share a little bit about how inspiration and intuition, energetic impressions, come into your being?
For myself, it comes in many different ways. Sometimes I will actually hear something, either a voice or words. Sometimes I get the physical sensation. It can be goosebumps all over. For example, if something is, you know, that usually means, yes, this is right, or yes, go for it. Sometimes it can be the physical sensation of, ooh, an uncomfortable feeling in my stomach, whether it's for myself or a client. Although, of course, what something means, the client always has the ultimate authority over that. I can just guide and suggest and offer what I see and feel. Sometimes it is sometimes I'll get a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So a vision. Sometimes I will actually see someone around. Sometimes and this is happening more and more, and I decided to finally start really cultivating, seeing guides or helpers or protectors. Sometimes it's ancestors around someone that have started, like, actively more inviting them in to, you know, anyone that wants to guide and assist in the session. So it comes in many, many different ways. And sometimes it is that synchronicity. I also will use other divinatory tools. The I Ching, for example, especially if I have a yes or no question, having a hard time making a decision about something, any kind of tarot or animal spirit cards as well. And sometimes that's where the synchronicity comes in with the intuition. It's kind of like, wow, I just was having that feeling. And then you get the message from tarot cards or a spread that says, yeah, you were right. Something wasn't quite working there. Or maybe the timing's a little off. Or maybe the person or the situation you're asking about, maybe there's someone involved that has their own agenda, and that's why it's not feeling quite right, even though it does sound like on paper a good idea, maybe it's not. So really paying attention to that. Do I feel if I feel uncomfortable, why? What is that? Mm-hmm. Looking a little deeper. Is it just fear and self-limitation, or is it because something's not quite right here?
Yeah.
Other times, of course, it's just like an immediate yes, wow, yes. Comes in many, many different ways, so it's a lot of listening.
Do you find as you become more involved with your sacred astrology and more involved with nature and beauty and synchronicity and meditation, that your ability to tap into impressions is greater or deeper, more expansive?
It is. There are, I don't want to say special needs, but there are some things that go along with that. I'm a person that needs a lot of alone time.
Mm-hmm.
And I need time to decompress from the outside world. So basically, I kind of need my home to be a sanctuary. And so that, and I've learned that over the years, and then actually came to realize that I actually deserve to have that. And so it's one of the things that I cultivated and make it happen, that it's a necessity for me to be happy and healthy and whole and interacting with the outside world, that I need to pull away from it daily and have time to decompress and time alone and time sitting in, I need to open my front door and be in nature. And these things support the work that I do and support doing it the way that I'd like to do it.
Yeah, makes sense. And so many people are so stressed. And I'm sure as they hear you talking about the sanctuary that you've created for yourself, it must be very appealing. So I'd say that that's a little bit of synchronicity for people who are stressed who are listening. Create your sanctuary. Now, if someone was interested in developing their own inspiration or intuition, can you give a tip or two, a starting point?
A starting point would be taking time to be still. Even if you start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes to sit somewhere in nature, in a park. Non-doing is the point. We won't even say meditating at this point, because when somebody, you know, if you get really wound up, then we're trying to do it too hard to do it right or too hard to focus. Sit 5-10 minutes to start and just listen. Just enjoy. Feel the wind on your face. Really listen to the birds sing. Watch a child playing with a dog. Really, really, really simple. The second thing, well, I'm always going to suggest paying attention to your dreams. And we don't even have to figure them out to start with, even just writing them down. That shows the dream energy that we're paying attention. And then if we start, write down whatever dream material is there, even if it's just a color or a feeling or a sensation or a word or just a little fragment, see where it pops up during the day.
I like that idea about the dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And simply writing them down or remembering or paying attention, that's a whole other area. Probably a whole other show, a whole other thing.
Yes.
That we could do together.
Yes.
Pollyanna, who are your mentors? What resources inspire you?
Well, I would say definitely my primary astrological mentor is Rio Oleski. I met him when I was 18 or 19. He has nourished mine and many, many, many students' love of astrology. And he was also has been a very important male figure, especially as a young woman when that had really been lacking in my growing up. So I'm eternally grateful to him. I've also had, I would say, Chris Engelhen Fortin, who leads a woman, she's a Zen priest and leads a woman's sangha in Sebastopol, California. I was part of that sangha for a while. She's also a therapist, and she has been a spiritual guide for me as well in the past. And even though I don't have much interaction now, it's still there. And she supported me a lot for several years. And there are many others. I would have to say from the other side, though we never met in person, but Walden Welch from the other side. Somehow he's another astrologer. Now we're connected. Now that he's passed over, definitely growing up as a child, definitely Mahatma Gandhi was one of my heroes. And for dream work, I would say Travis Wernett, my dear, dear, dear friend. I have learned an amazing amount from him, participating in his groups and also getting one-on-one sessions from him. It's really expanded that part of my practice. Of course, there's many astrologers that I love that I've never even met, but whose work I love and who I've learned a lot from.
So this is going to sound like a funny question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You may laugh. Are you in the market for a mentor in any area of your life at the moment?
Me?
Yeah.
Sort of. I'm actually in the process of applying for a particular certification in dream work with Jeremy Taylor, but I haven't finished the application yet. But through Travis, I am familiar with his work. So I do hope for that. And yes, I'm open to other spiritual mentors. I love the work that you do. I come across many others. Yes. I'm open to the possibility, sure.
The reason I asked that question is because you were so eloquent in providing the names of your mentors, your inspirations, and I could envision someone sitting out there wondering if they needed a mentor and wondering if that would be within their reach. So that's why I just threw it out to you.
Oh.
So they could see how open you are.
I am fortunate to do some mentoring. It's myself. I love doing it, and I'd love to do more of that.
If someone wanted to get a hold of you, what is the best way to do that?
Well, the best way would be, A, to call at 707-843-4503. I can also be reached by email, and that would be polly@sacredstarsastrology.com.
Beautiful. And Pollyanna, would you come back and talk a little bit about dream work?
I'd love to come back, Mildred Lynn. This is so much fun, and you're a phenomenal host. And I just feel so fortunate to have met you. This has been really delightful.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here today on Healing Conversations from Sebastopol, California. I'd like to wish Polly a wonderful afternoon. I'd like to wish all of our listeners lots of nature, beauty, meditation, synchronicity. And if you're interested in learning more about sacred astrology and what it can do for you, I know that Pollyanna would be most open to your questions, so please feel free to call her. Thank you so much, Pollyanna. Have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you, Mildred Lynn. You too.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows, LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows, LIVE for Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, with Heisey Lutmers and Charlie Harrington. Tuesday evening at 8 p.m.
A rock in a stream. We live in a painting. The island is shaped by what the wind sings. Salt of the earth is the lake at the heart of the island. By the tune played on your heartstring. How to explain it is to feel it. If you feel it, you can hear it. You need to be here to feel it. shoreline that's